Jesus' name we will continue our services. A reading from the 104th Psalm, beginning with the 21st verse. We read these words in Jesus' name as follows. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their meat from God. The sun ariseth, they gather themselves together and lay them down in their dens. Man goeth forth unto his work and to his labor until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are thy works! In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. So is this great and wide sea, wherein are things creeping innumerable, both small and great beasts. There go the ships. There is that Leviathan whom thou hast made to play therein. These wait all upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season. That thou givest them, they gather. Thou openest thine hand, they are filled with good. Thou hidest thy face, they are troubled. Thou takest away their breath, they die and return to their dust. Thou sendest forth thy spirit, they are created, and thou renewest the face of the earth. The glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The Lord shall rejoice in his works. He looketh on the earth, and it trembleth. He toucheth the hills, and they smoke. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. Amen. First of all, I'd like to also bring greetings from my home congregation in Rockford. We're just down the road from each other, but life is busy, and it seems the times that we see each other and meet each other are few. This part of God's Word points us to a time and a place that in some ways seems so distant and far removed from us today. Perhaps you recall the time of Egypt when Moses was there and the people that lived there and what they thought. When they looked around them in nature, they saw things that they could not explain. And so they made those things into God. The Egyptians thought the sun was a god. The sun was their great god. Amongst other things, the Egyptians thought that the person that was their leader was also a god, and at some point in the future would be taken to the sun. When you read history of Egypt, you find how those types of things play into, for instance, the building of the pyramids, where at certain times of the day, The sun shines just perfectly and points to the door of the pyramid, as if calling that God of theirs back to the sun. It wasn't something that was just for the Egyptians. But so many people of that day found gods which were strange. They tried to explain things that they could not understand. In the middle of that, dear brothers and sisters, was the flock of God's children. The flock which had, at different times and places, had conversations with God. There on the wilderness journey, you recall how God fed them manna, how He showed them miracles before they left. Into this day, David was born. It was already many years after that Exodus. But when you think about it, some of those things which the Egyptians had tempted the believers of that day with were still there, were still present. They were an ever-present danger. In the same way also, dear brothers and sisters, this evening, the believers of this day, we struggle against things which sometimes we don't understand. God's Word does tell us, though, that there's nothing new under the sun. There are no new temptations. Sure, they may have changed forms and appear in different ways, but there's nothing new under the sun. And as Solomon once said, it's vanity of vanities. All is vanity. But the psalmist here wishes to paint a different picture. They grew up in very difficult times, just as we find ourselves, the people of this day. There are lots of struggles around us in the world, some very difficult. Some struggles appear even within God's kingdom, which could cause our hearts and minds to doubt and to fear. But the psalmist here wishes to place us before some truths that we can't pass by. They are seen, as the psalmist here sees, in nature. He begins this text by saying, "The young lions roar after their prey and seek their meat from God." They call to God for help. They're not, in that sense, any different than we are. The Bible tells us that we have, in wordless prayers, uttered many prayers to God for help in our times of need. God helps even the animals and nature. As it says here, these young lions, as they roar after their prey, as if asking God for His help. They seek their meat from God. The psalmist here, though, places this in a different perspective, though, not just to receive food from God, but he places us before how God has made us, even as people and as animals and the order that He has created within us. It says these young lions seek their meat from God. And then it says the sun ariseth, and they gather themselves together and lay them down in their dens. And if you behold nature in that way, you see how the psalmist is right. There are many of us here, I can see, who are hunters, who have learned over the years how the animals have their ways. And it's according to how God has set them, has made them. They follow patterns which maybe we don't understand, but we can trace them and know them. Man has been created in that same way. We have been set into nature. God has set us above nature in that sense to tend it. For instance, He called Adam to name the animals. And we are to be good stewards of the earth. But God has also made us as people to be children of the day and not of the night. Here the psalmist says, man goeth forth into his work and to his labor until the evening. That's how God has set the order of things. Sure, there are things that are different in our day, and some of us work nights, weekends. But for the great majority of people, we wake up in the morning, we go to work, we come home and do our home chores, and then we go to sleep at night. And it's good for us to remember that order which God has set. It hasn't been said without reason that we need to walk as children of the day and not of the night. Scriptures say that they who are drunken are drunken in the night. It reminds me of one of the sayings that pictures one of the cities, great cities of our day. And it's a phrase that says it's a city that never sleeps. And we hear so often about the things that are done in that city. It isn't a wonder that those things happen when man in his wisdom has forsaken God, forsaken scriptures, and begun to create a society that seemingly is godless. Even the last few days and weeks, when you read the newspapers, you might have seen statements to this effect about a couple subjects. One subject was about gay marriage. A politician made this statement in a newspaper that if a pastor preaches other than gay marriage, they ought to be jailed. Another politician said about abortion that the religious biases of men need to conform to society and that there's no other way forward. We live in that type of time, dear brothers and sisters, where there is a battle around us. And we can become fearful. We can become doubt-filled. That how does the way go forward? How will we make it to heaven? Here the psalm writer says, though, that we as people should work. We should work during the day and go to our night's rest in the evening. Proverbs, the writer of the Proverbs writes in the 6th chapter about another type of animal, or an insect, not an animal in that sense. The psalm writer here wrote about the lion. The writer of the Proverbs writes about an ant. He says we should model our lives after an ant. And he's speaking to someone who apparently was lazy, was being warned of idleness. And he says, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which, having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep?" And it's been the exhortation from scriptures that we work. It is a blessing of God. It is not a curse for men to work, but it has been given for our benefit. And so when we follow after the grace order of God, we can, with the psalmist, exclaim of the Lord, "How manifold are His works. In His wisdom He made them all. The earth is full of His riches." And then he begins to explain some of those riches. He says, "You can't count them all. There's so many of them. They're small and great beasts. We see them, whether they're made by men or made by God, on the sea, the ships." And then he mentions something that he calls the Leviathan. I don't claim to understand what that word means. The Bible doesn't explain what that animal is. Perhaps it's a whale. We don't know. But it gives us that picture that it's a very big animal. In some ways, I've wondered when I've read this, when you hear stories about, for instance, the Loch Ness monster. There are those things out there that we don't know about, especially from history. Perhaps during that day there were animals living that are not alive today and have gone extinct. But it was this very big animal, and it played there in the oceans. Every last one of those animals and those, even those things that are created by men, wait upon God. They have been given by God. They come from His hand. They all wait upon Him. It says that thou mayest give them their meat in due season. Have we paused to think about our lives from that standpoint, that we receive everything from God? It's not dependent upon men. It's not dependent upon people around us to help us. It's not dependent upon our own hand, but it is from God. In our Bible class on Wednesday, I mentioned that, for instance, if you go into a restaurant, perhaps many of us may have had this type of experience where we think that the service wasn't that great, and our tendency might be to blame the waiter or waitress. But when you really stop to consider that, dear brothers and sisters, when you're eating, you're receiving daily bread, your food, your sustenance that God has given. And God has, through that waitress, brought it to your plate. And through the cook, He has made it. And through the delivery person, has brought it there to the restaurant. And from the factories, has packaged it. And from the farmers, has brought it to the factories. And from there, dear brothers and sisters, where has that come from? Seeds, which men cannot make. Animals, which we cannot create. Through all these things, God helps us. Even through our friends and co-workers and neighbors around us in the world, our government, God helps us and feeds us in ways that we don't understand. They're all so interconnected. It says, "Thou openest thy hand, they are filled with good." Dear brothers and sisters, this evening we have reason to raise our hearts, our minds and thoughts in thanksgiving to the Heavenly Father that He has been so gracious to us. He has fed us. He has sheltered us. He has given us families. He has given us brothers and sisters in faith. He has given us these buildings where we can thank and praise Him. Aren't these good? Aren't they given by Him? It's from God. But the psalmist here wishes to also warn us, though, of the other side of the picture, of those things that are in the majesty of God. We don't understand them and wonder perhaps when it shows its face to us. It says, "Thou hidest thy face," and they are troubled. Been a short few weeks since the Easter celebrations. You recall when Jesus was hanging there on the cross, and it says that God turned His face away, and Jesus exclaimed, "That my God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" If God turns His face from us, we are troubled. And we need to find that place where He dwells. Because there is peace, there is safety, there is forgiveness, there's help in our times of trouble. It says, "Thou takest away their breath. They die and return to their dust." Oh, if we could only so simply believe always that it's in God's hands. When someone passes from our midst, isn't that our thought so many times that we should have, we could have, maybe we should have been there and done something different than be here in our midst? But God, when He takes their breath from them, He takes them back to Him. They die and return to their dust. I find it interesting here that the psalmist here doesn't say that they return just to dust. says it returns to their dust. We've been dust before, dear brothers and sisters. We will return to dust. But God sends forth His Spirit, and then we are created. It's new around us, as we heard in our dear brother's service tonight. At springtime, we see how God renews the face of the earth. He sends forth His Spirit. Those are joyous moments in our lives when children are born to our homes and we are able to accept God's blessings from His hand. We have not done that nor earned it. But God has blessed us. He has sent forth His Spirit and He has created. That glory of God endures forever. It will never be taken away. It will always be His. Men try to take some of the glory and try to make it their own. They try to take power into their own hands. I heard one man on the radio not that long ago who put it this way when he was trying to put all the pieces together about what he saw happening in our own country and how the guidance and the direction of God are being replaced by government. It says, man in his wisdom is building again a Tower of Babel, a tower of their own power. They think they can build it, but it will never stand. God's glory endures forever. It says, the Lord shall rejoice in His works. Don't you remember those beginning pages of the Bible when it speaks of creation, when God created those things on their successive days, and then it says that when He beheld it, it was good. He rejoiced in His works. It was good. He rejoices in His creation when He beholds you and me today. We are created in His image. Not one of us is not worth any more than another. We are all the same value before God. We are His children in His kingdom. It says, He looketh on the earth and it trembleth. Sometimes we wonder that, is God here with us today? Scriptures tell us so many stories where it seems like God was so near. He spoke to them, as the New Testament says, in sundry times and diverse places. He revealed Himself to His children. How does He show His presence today, dear brothers and sisters? It says He just looks on the earth and trembles. When I read this, I think of earthquakes and such things. It's a power that man cannot reproduce as God does. It's a fearful thing to experience when it happens. When I was in Ecuador, we were sitting in one of the believers' houses, talking about the way and the journey, and in the corner of my eye, I began to see the mirror begin to wave, and I thought I was seeing things. Then I saw the lamps begin to wave, And I was terrified. I was ready to race out of the building, and I asked those who were there that, shouldn't we get out of the house? And they said no, they were waiting to see if it was a big one. It was big enough for me, dear brothers and sisters, having experienced it the first time. But when God looks on the earth, it says, it trembles. He touches the hills and they smoke. Volcanoes don't just erupt for their own sake. God touches them. They smoke. Doesn't it feel good, dear brothers and sisters, to be children of the Heavenly Father? One who has the majesty, who has the power over our lives and can guide us and can lead us along the way of faith. He has power over such great things such as land masses and volcanoes. Don't we have the strength to believe that He can guide the lives of a small people, His children? Our hearts and minds, when we stop to consider this, wish to, with the psalm writer, sing praises to God. And don't we make those promises, dear brothers and sisters, with the psalm writer, to say that we will sing unto the Lord as long as we live. We will praise Him. He's worth following, worth praising. All honor and glory goes to Him. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. While we are here, we can live as believers. We can follow after the grace order which God has set into nature. And we can trust in God, He who created all those things. We can trust that He who can govern nature and who governs governments, governs His kingdom, He will lead us onto good here in this life. He has not led His kingdom along a path which leads away from Him, but it's always towards Him. Just as we have this Friday evening rested from our week of work and gathered this weekend for special services where we can rest and enjoy the fellowship of the believers. In the same way also, dear brothers and sisters, one day we can rest our travel staff to lay it down and have it replaced with a crown. Isn't it worth believing, dear brothers and sisters? The wages are great for the one who endeavors in faith till the end. Perhaps tonight, though, you came here under doubts and fears. Perhaps the temptation seems so great. Perhaps the enemy has received victories. And you come here wondering if you're even still a child of God. Dear brother, dear sister, lift up your heart tonight and believe the gospel. And believe all of your sins and doubts forgiven in Jesus' name and precious atonement blood. And renew again those promises to believe. It pays to believe. Because when we believe and leave this life as one of God's children, we will attain the glory of heaven. And until that day, we place our trust in God, who does govern our lives and does govern the lives of this earth and nature and governments. We place our trust in Him, knowing that He who has begun the good work in us will, on the day of Christ, end it. Can I remain believing the same gospel? Can I believe my sins forgiven? I want to believe together with you. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make His face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up His countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.